A little like a massive submerged log, but every nerve in Ryan's body told him that it wasn't. He worked harder, bending all his muscles into each thrusting stroke, feeling the boat shoot forward faster, a gurgling wave breaking under the bow. His ears caught a strange sound behind him. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw the water parting and something chasing after him. The instant the bow of the canoe slid into the pebbles and mud, he leapt from it. His blaster ready, he spun around to face what had been pursuing him. But the water was calm and still, with only the faintest suggestion of a ripple toward the deeper part of the swamp. He was motionless for a moment, gathering his self-control about him, like a protective cloak, checking his bearings. In the moonlight, he could barely make out the tracks of the albino through the mud. But he saw a rowboat a few yards farther along, toward the building. Examining it, he discovered some extraordinary marks in the mud. Someone had fallen, and fallen again, and dragged himself along by hand. There was one clear print, and Ryan stooped and placed his own hand in the seeping mark. The fingers were nearly 4 inches longer than his. Jamal was going to be a difficult man to take if it came to close combat between them. The mud also showed the truth of the leg supports. Great furrows vanished into the bushes where the land was less wet. Despite, or perhaps because of his enormous size, the Baron wasn't going to find it easy to move. The fire was dying behind him as Ryan set out to move inland. The temple was open, and it was obvious that nobody was hiding there. The island was apparently no more than a half mile in length, but he had no idea how wide it was. The undergrowth closed in around him. Ryan never heard the Swampies. Ryan found himself rolling over on his hands and knees, the G-12 pulled from his grip. Someone's arm around his throat, another attacker hanging on his waist, kicking at his legs. It was the stench of gasoline and sweat as he grappled with the oily bodies. Despite the shock of the sudden attack, Ryan was able to immediately retaliate. Heaving up, feeling the hold loosen on his waist, he snapped an elbow back as hard as he could, hearing a rib break. The arm was off his throat, and he was able to wriggle to his feet, drawing the panga, the best weapon for hand-to-hand combat. There were three of them, two men and a woman. Muties like the ones they'd seen on the day they arrived in Louisiana. All of them were around 5 feet tall, stumpy, squat, and muscular. Dressed in torn pants and shirts, they had flapping sandals of hacked rubber on their feet. They stared at him blankly, the sockets of their eyes surrounded by odd scars. The woman held a small crossbow, and the men were armed with machetes, shorter and narrower than Ryan's own weapon. Standing, gazing at Ryan, they seemed to be waiting for him to make the first move. Suddenly the woman raised the bow, aiming it jerkily at Ryan's belly. The thought darted through his mind that this was a squalid and foolish way to die. Alone in the muddy banks, gut shot with a wooden arrow. He tensed, ready for a desperate dive at her, his senses telling him it would be too late and too slow. The bow twanged, and the shaft hissed through the air several yards over his head. Ryan stared as the woman staggered sideways, her nailless fingers plucking at the hilt of the slim dagger that sprouted from her neck like a bizarre pendant. Jack Lauren darted from the undergrowth, a knife in each hand.
Take the honor, Stoop!
The fountain of blood from the woman's neck pattered around them. She fell to her knees, then rolled heavily on her back. Her legs spread, and Ryan noticed with revulsion that a small residual penis dangled from her naked belly. An instant later, one of the Swampies was on top of him, its dank, noxious breath hot in his face. The machete hissed toward him, and he wriggled around, blocking the blow with his forearm. He stamped on the creature's foot, breaking away from him.
Cut its throat!
Jack was fencing around the other mutie, his knife glinting in the moonlight. The Swampie tried to stagger away.
Swamp bastard!
The 18-inch blade of Ryan's panga flitted out and back and out again, slick with blood. He cut the Swampie across the lower forearm and again across the top of the right thigh. Both had been deep, slashing blows that opened up the flesh into scarlet lips. The creature's machete dropped and it hopped back. Ryan waited, remembering how hard it had been to kill the living dead muties before. Dodging around his opponent, Jack Lauren had been grabbed around the chest.
Shit!
But the mutie released him, looking in bewilderment at its stubby fingers, which streamed with blood from a dozen cuts. The tiny slivers of razor steel sewn into the albino's clothing again proved their worth. The other Swampie was moving in on Ryan again, stooping to reach for the fallen blade, fumbling in the dark mud. It was an opportunity that couldn't be missed. Ryan stepped once forward and once to the side, blade up, muscles poised for the downward hack. Steel whispered in the moonlight as it came down hard. The Panga sliced clean through the mutie's scrawny neck, decapitating it, the head rolling into the mud, the body slithering at Ryan's feet, jerking and twitching. Wiping blood from his face, Ryan turned to see if the boy needed aid. But there was no need to worry. Jack Lauren was amazingly, dazzlingly fast in hand-to-hand combat. Maybe the best Ryan Carter had ever seen. He switched the knife from side to side quicker than the eye could follow. The mutie lumbered after him, making great, ineffectual swings with its machete that would have sliced the lad in half if they'd landed. Jack pulled away, then sprinted in toward the swampy, took off with a great spring, and actually leapt over the thing. Turning a somersault in the air, he still had the control to slash at the creature's face. The thin knife cut across its eyes, blinding the mutie with streaking blood. Jack landed in an easy forward roll, coming up in a fighter's crouch.
Off with head, Ryan!
Dodging the mutie's helpless lunge at him, Ryan took a half step to one side and hacked with the panga at the neck. The living dead mutie had a heavy build, and the blow failed to totally behead it. But the steel severed the spinal column and most of the flesh and muscle. The body fell, spouting blood that seemed black by the light of the moon. The round, brutish head remained attached to the shoulders by a stringy thread of gristle and sinew, rolling behind it like an afterthought as the body pitched and jerked. Ryan stooped to cleanse the blade of his panga in the stubby grass. At his shoulder, Jack Lauren was grinning.
Easy as shooting sec, man.
Tremal have heard the fight.
Let him. Can't get off here. With his crooked legs, he can't run or swim. I'll take him.
Or me.
Ryan sheathed the panga, then picked up his G-12 and wiped it clean of mud.
Yeah. You or me, Ryan.
Like a swamp wraith, the boy was off and running, visible mainly by the glimmer of his stark white hair. The Baron nearly managed to fool them. Despite his bulk and his clumsiness, he succeeded in lying quiet in the undergrowth until they passed. Then he made a lumbering charge for the boats before they could turn and follow. But Ryan heard him and yelled out a warning to Jack Lauren.
Boats, Whitey!
As Ryan sprinted back along the twisting trail, his boots kicking up spray around him, he glimpsed a monstrously tall man, striding as if he wore stilts, near the narrow strip of beach where the canoes waited. A triple burst from the G-12, fired on the run, didn't come within 10 paces of Tamal, but it was enough to make him stumble and dive sideways for cover behind a low mud bank. Ryan, in turn, leapt off the path, finishing up flat against the trunk of a fallen tree, slippery with moss and cold to the touch. A couple of shots smashed into the wood, only inches from his head, and he flattened down. He tried to identify the flat barking of the blaster. If JB had been there, he probably would have guessed not only the model of the gun, but even figured out the year of manufacture. All Ryan could tell was that it was a big handgun. He strained his ears and caught the giveaway triple click of a hammer being cocked. That meant a revolver, which probably meant 6 rounds, but Ryan wasn't about to stake his life on that. There was a blur of movement, topped with a streak of white, and Jack Lauren dove to the ground behind another topple tree a few yards away. Ryan waved the barrel of his handgun.
Yonder!
2 more shots were snapped off, both coming close. Jack fired once with his Magnum, its 6-inch barrel gleaming in the moonlight.
We got him! Got him cold as dead gator meat!
Wanna talk, Snow Wolf?
Wanna kill, bastard!
Wanna talk, One Eye?
Wanna kill you, Baron!
Ryan's words were rewarded with 3 spaced bullets, the last shot showering him with splinters of chipped wood. Glancing around the side, he was able to see the gun being withdrawn